Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Generation Y ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Apple Podcasts. Listen to a bold new take on George Orwell's classic 1984 on Audible. Starring an epic cast with Andrew Garfield, Cynthia Erivo, and Andrew Scott, and featuring Tom Hardy as Big Brother. Plus, a haunting original score by Matthew Bellamy and Elon Ashkari that takes this thrilling production to the next level. Experience an immersive listening experience like nothing you've heard before. This chilling tale of constant surveillance, thought police, and rebellion is more relevant now than ever. Big Brother is watching and listening. Hear why those who control the past control the future. Listen to George Orwell's 1984 on Audible now. Go to audible.com/bigbrother.
There are days like today where I am just too busy to get outside and go feed myself. And that's where DoorDash comes in. It's super convenient and they bring the food to me. Also, I don't like paying delivery fees. So I have DashPass. DashPass is an exclusive membership from DoorDash that gets you unlimited $0 delivery fees on eligible orders and members-only deals and discounts, all for only $9.99 a month. DashPass actually pays for itself in two orders on average. DashPass makes it easy to save at restaurants, grocery stores, and all your local favorites. Open the door to $0 delivery fees and savings you can't get anywhere else. Sign up for DashPass today only on DoorDash and get your first 30 days free if you're a new member. Subject to change, terms apply. From Wondery. How you doing tonight, Aaron?
I'm here, Justin.
Awesome. You know, most cases that we cover where there's multiple suspects or people that are in cahoots, most of the time they turn on each other and point the finger at each other. But tonight's case, we have two people who claim it was solely them responsible for the murder and not the other. This is a little different, right? I'm not used to having people take responsibility or credit for the crime. It's usually the opposite. They're never taking accountability. So in tonight's case, we have two people that are saying they're responsible for the murder and not the other. It makes the whole case a big mess because you have two conflicting stories. And who do you believe when you know that they either A, one of them is responsible, or B, they did it together, which is another option, obviously. So you know they're lying, but you just don't know who to pin it on.
Well, before we really get into responsibility and accountability, we should say that the conflicting stories don't really come out during the trial necessarily.
No, they don't.
But they do come out.
So you have to decide, did one of them do it? Did both of them do it? And why are they trying to take credit for it and not pin it on the other?
We're brought to you by Audible. Audible app makes it easy to listen anytime, anywhere, while traveling, working out, walking, or doing your chores. I usually listen to Audible when I'm on a plane because it's the best way to keep my mind off the boredom and claustrophobia of being in a plane. I'm currently listening to The Long Walk. It was one of Stephen King's first books that he wrote under Richard Bachman. It's an incredible story about teens who are volunteered to go on a long walk. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog. Right now, new members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500. That's audible.com/GWP or text GWP to 500-500.
This episode is brought to you by June's Journey. Unleash your inner sleuth and step into the glamorous 1920s. Uncover scandalous family secrets and solve the mysterious murder of June Parker's sister. With dazzling hidden object scenes and riveting storylines in each chapter, June's Journey invites you to a thrilling era of mystery and romance. And now, June needs your help, detective. Download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. Your adventure awaits.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself
and for those facing homelessness,
because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/wondery and use code wondery for 20% off your first purchase.
So what are we talking about tonight, Aaron?
Tonight we're talking about the case of Trace Wicker, who was murdered in 2011.
He was 14 years old. This is in Louisville, Kentucky, or Louisville, Kentucky, or Louisville, Kentucky. Please don't send us an email about it. There's four other ways to say your city's name.
No, we're getting emails now because you said Louisville.
Anyways, but all joking aside, this is a tragic story of a boy being murdered.
Trace Wicker's full name was Terrence Wayne Wicker. He was born September 3rd, 1996.
Man, I feel old. I graduated in 95.
At the time, he was a freshman. He was on the honor roll. He went to Seneca High School. Now, he lived with his mother, Amanda McFarland. She was in a relationship at that time with a man named Joshua Gawker. And Joshua Gawker had his own son from a prior relationship. His name was Josh Young.
So we have two people named Josh. We'll probably refer to the father as Gawker and the son as Young, and that's kind of a memory tag here. So you know when we say Young, that's the younger son, Josh.
What we know about Trey was that he was close with his father. His father was an electrician, has his own business. I think his tagline for his business is something like, if you get a flicker, calls Wicker.
That's awesome.
I think it's Zwicker Electric. And he and his son loved watching wrestling together. Trey liked fishing. He liked riding dirt bikes. He loved spending time with his family. He was very protective of his little sister. One of the things that really got my attention early on when I was reading about this case was that he felt like, even though he was making it, he didn't really like the fact that his sister was living with he and his mother, because he didn't feel like it was a good situation. And so he, again, was very protective of his little sister. He also would spend time with his grandmother. His grandmother's name was Shelley Stewart, who was his grandmother on his mother's side. And according to her, his grandmother, when Trey was over at her house, he would play video games, skateboard. But she said he always listened to her. You know, when she said it was time to come back or what have you, you know, he was very responsible.
Said that he wanted to become a Marine.
So because we're talking about Trace Wicker, the episode is titled Trace Wicker, something happens to him, something very unpleasant. Let's now talk about what happened in May of 2011.
On May 13th, a student found Trey's body. It was behind the Liberty High School, kind of in a ditch by a creek. He was laying on his stomach, his head turned sideways, and he was laying down. They said that he had his arms up a little bit, and there was a little bit of blood on him and on the rocks. It was apparent that he had been bludgeoned to death. This is all according to a fellow student, Titus Scroggin.
Anytime someone is murdered, of course, the detectives want to know who was close to them, who had a problem with them. So it's time to go around and get Trey's story, get his family's story. What was going on at that time?
Well, on May 10th, 2011, it's around 6 p.m., Trey's playing basketball with Joshua Gawker. People refer to him as the stepfather, but kind of a weird technicality there. He really wasn't.
At around 10 p.m., Amanda McFarland, Trey's mother, said that she and her children, and that included Trey, so Trey and his sister, went to bed. And it was shortly thereafter, she said that her son Trey went out on the porch and he was dressed. She said, "You need to go to bed. You have school tomorrow." So it was kind of a weird thing. But remember, he was found dead on May 13th, on the night of May 10th. And this is after he was supposed to have gone to bed. He's now dressed and he's out on the porch.
At 11:30, Gawker says that he and Amanda went back inside and had intercourse. He goes on to say at 1 a.m., they drive to the local Circle K, which is a gas station convenience store, to buy cigarettes, and they're actually seen on the security cameras. They drive home, and they again have intercourse. At 2 to 2:30 a.m., Gawker says that he rolled a blunt, or a marijuana cigarette, out of cigar papers, for those that are not in the know. And they smoked half of it, and then they finally went to bed. Amanda testifies that Joshua fell asleep first, and she watched some TV, and then she ended up going to sleep because Joshua was snoring. Anyways, 2:30 a.m., Cassie Gawker, who's a cousin, says that Josh Young came to her house, woke her up, and said that he had killed Trey, and he was there to wash up, but apparently the water was turned off or there wasn't any water available for some reason. I'm just assuming the water was turned off at the house. He said that he needed to get rid of some evidence, which consisted of a baseball bat and a plastic bag that was essentially full of bloody clothes. She will take Young on a, I don't know, it's about a 10-minute drive to some remote apartment complex where they dump those items in a dumpster. Those items, the baseball bat and the bag full of bloody clothes, will never be found. At 9:45 a.m., a teacher at Liberty High named Mr. Hurley took the students outside for a break. The students noticed some graffiti on the walls, but no one saw a body, and they were only 20 yards from where Trey's body would later be found. At 1 p.m., Mrs. Varner took her humanities class out, and one of the students spotted what they believed was a body down in the wooded creek behind the school. They alerted the teacher, and a school security guard called 911 at 1:16 p.m.
And Trey Zwicker was laid to rest on May 16th. On May 27th, and because Trey and his father loved watching professional wrestling together, Ohio Valley Wrestling hosted an event. They were looking to raise money for the family, and they donated about $2,000 for funeral expenses. Now, this is where things really pick up. June 10th of 2011, Trey's mother, Amanda, took out a protective order against her boyfriend, Josh Gawker, saying that he was not safe and that she didn't want him near her children. Now, the report that was drawn up stated that Gawker was dangerous and she suspected him of being involved in her son's murder. This is pretty significant because she had spent, I guess you could say, the day, the evening together with him. She knew when he went to sleep, and yet she believes he's involved in her son's death. If anyone's going to know, maybe it would be her, right?
She's the closest one to him. On June 16th, an Amber Alert is issued for Josh Young because he has disappeared with his father and a friend. On June 17th, Gawker, Young, and a friend are all facing charges for carrying a pistol without a permit. So they didn't get very far.
Well, the thing was is that the three of them had been at a gas station. They were acting like they needed directions. Gawker pulled a gun on a woman and said, you need to drive south. They were driving on I-65 southbound. They took an exit at Homewood, and they were getting a hotel room there. They made the victim pay for the hotel room. Then she left. Well, as soon as she got back, she filed a report.
I mean, she's just been literally kidnapped and held hostage and made to drive to a hotel. So, yeah. What did they expect to happen?
Yeah. So, I mean, they were already looking for Gawker and Young, but now they're looking for them for multiple reasons. It's on June 23rd when Josh Young, and let's be clear about this, Josh Young at the time was 15 years old. He's arrested for the murder of Trace Wicker after his father. So I think the authorities are looking at it as both of them are involved here.
Well, they all fled together. So they're at least accessories, whichever one actually did the murder. You know, his father is either harboring a fugitive or he's with his father who just murdered somebody.
Now, something odd happens on October 5th of that year. Joshua Gawker is released from jail because of some error. So he's rearrested back on October 6th and then sent to Indiana. But first they flee, then they're caught, and then there's an error and Gawker's released. This seems like the case is already shaky here at the beginning. If you can't hold your suspects.
Well, they're going after Young for the murder. And on November 17th, he is indicted. One count of murder and one count of tampering with evidence. That evidence tampering is, I'm assuming, coming from the murder weapon and bloody clothing being disposed of. During discovery, they play phone calls and police interviews with Joshua Gawker. And when he was interviewed, he told detectives he didn't know how Zwicker was murdered or who was involved, but said maybe Zwicker was jumped by a group of people. That's a odd explanation. You know, when you take off with your son and literally carjack somebody, kidnap them, and are on the run, and then you come back and say that Trey was jumped randomly by some group of people, you know, you look guilty and your explanation's not going to add up.
So after Gawker and Young had been arrested, Gawker's phone conversations obviously were recorded. And in one of the conversations that he had on the phone, he told someone that his son, Josh, hated Trey Zwicker. And one of the quotes was, he just hated him and he was just jealous of him, so he killed him.
When you got to realize that Trey was an honor student, pretty much a good kid, whereas Young wasn't so much. He wasn't liked. He was considered a bully, and he had Joshua Gawker as a father. And we'll get into his criminal history in a bit here, but Josh's mother, Angela Young, had died from a drug overdose. Him and his sister had gone to live with a foster family. They were kind of bounced around a little bit. His foster parents were supportive, though, but the rest of his blood family, not so much. So Trey appeared to have it all going for him. And Young, well, he didn't have much going for him.
Now, Josh Young had an attorney. His name was Pete Schuler. He was very much concerned about Young's mental health, about his environment. I think, you know, when we talk about Young having a rough childhood, a rough life, his attorney was thinking, okay, so he's accused of this crime, but we need to take care of him. And you can't take care of him by throwing him in a jail cell. So he wanted his bond lowered from $100,000 cash to $40,000 in property. He was wanting Josh be put back in with his foster parents, and he wanted him to continue his education, and he wanted assistance, mental health assistance for him. The judge wasn't going to have it. And I think it's because of the seriousness of the charges. And so that didn't work. But I don't think his attorney was trying to wiggle away with anything on this. It was just literally he's looking out for his client. And I think what he was saying made sense. But again, you have a dead kid, and if Josh Young was involved, you really don't want to make things too good for him. He needs to go to trial. Now, Louisville, Kentucky, the Commonwealth's attorney's office, they wanted to try Josh Young and his father, Josh Gawker, together. So they reindicted Josh Young by grand jury. Now, in this case, it's really interesting because there are a lot of people who have information about the murder or about things that these two have said. And on July 27th, two different inmates told authorities that Gawker had told his son to kill Trey because his girlfriend, Trey's mother, Amanda, had aborted his baby. And Gawker referred to this as an eye for an eye.
So his initial statement was, some people must have jumped Trey. Now he's saying, I told my son to kill Trey because his mother aborted my kid. So his statement's changing and he's pinning it on his son, but he's involved because it was at his orders. Now, we talked about the night of, and I said that he kept saying he had intercourse. Well, that was his whole plan for an alibi, is that he was going to make an adult video with Amanda while Josh was killing Trey. This is his whole diabolic plan, I guess. More phone calls are released between Gawker and his mother, and basically he wanted her to come see him, and he was going to take one on the chin for his son, and that would be taking responsibility for the murder.
I don't know if we'd call it that, because he's basically telling his mom that he's going to take the fall for his son.
Yeah.
August 20th, Joshua Gawker continues this plan because while he's in court for arraignment, he shouts out that he alone killed Trey and that his son had nothing to do with it. And this is after his attorney tried entering a plea of not guilty. So these attorneys have my sympathy. It's obvious at this point that Gawker is going to try to sabotage this trial. He wants the trial to be about him, and he wants the jury to essentially think that his son had nothing to do with the crime. Again, with all of the different information that comes out and the different stories that are being given from one month to the next, what are you to believe? Yeah. But I do think an important part of this is that, I think it was on August 15th when it happened, but when he spoke to his mother, I think her name was Ruby Jesse, and he was telling her, I'm going to take one on the chin for Josh, meaning his son. I think that's the truth. I think he's saying, I'm going to do what I can so that he doesn't have to go away, because this is a murder charge. This isn't a theft charge. This isn't an assault charge. It's a murder charge. And if his son, who was 15 when the crime happened, goes away for life, for whatever reason, and even though he's not really been the best dad, he's now wanting to step up and do what he can for his boy, which might give more credence to this idea that he was angry about the abortion.
So now people have to decide, is he telling the truth and he is the one that killed Trey, or is he taking a fall for his son?
Or is there some truth in between?
Exactly.
We're brought to you by ZipRecruiter. So the other day, Aaron and I were trying to get concert tickets to a show we really wanted to see. And I waited before I bought my ticket. And guess what? I missed my chance. And that's why you have to act quickly, or somebody else will get it instead. It's like hiring for your business. If you want to find the most talented people for your roles, you have to scoop them up before the competition does. So that's why the best way to do that is ZipRecruiter. ZipRecruiter finds qualified candidates fast. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter's powerful matching technology takes center stage to identify top talent for your roles. And immediately after you post your job, ZipRecruiter's smart technology starts showing you qualified people for it. Amp up your hiring performance with ZipRecruiter and find the best fast. See why 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a qualified candidate within the first day. Just go to this exclusive web address right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. Again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/GenY. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. take a moment to get a word from our sponsor, Field of Greens. I like eating healthy, and I've tried a lot of different supplements. I've tried juicing, and I've spent a lot of money and wasted a lot of time. And let me tell you, honestly, none of those things ever made me feel better. With Field of Greens, it's a superfood that gives you nutrition the way nature intended. It's packed full of organic fruits and vegetables, not extracts. And when you're getting those nutrients, you can sleep better, notice things like your hair and your nails feel stronger, helps with digestion. You just feel better overall. My favorite flavor is the strawberry lemonade. I have a feeling you're going to love this product the way I do. But if for some reason you don't like it, they give you a 100% money-back guarantee. Plus, you can get 15% off your first order and free rush shipping. Visit fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code GenY. Promo code GenY at fieldofgreens.com. Fieldofgreens.com. Go check it out.
September 19th, though, more phone conversations are released. And Gawker was on the phone with his brother. He was telling his brother, I was with Amanda the whole time. I passed the polygraph test. How the F can they do that? How can they charge both of you, said his brother.
They can, and they will, but...
But this is significant, though, yeah. Because it wasn't that long before that he's saying, I did it. It was all me.
And now he's saying, I was with Amanda the whole time, yeah.
Which was his alibi.
Exactly.
So what is it? Which is it?
Well, he gets up in front of the judge, and he says, Your Honor, I want to just say I didn't help anyone kill Trey. This is not his time to speak. This is not the time to give statements or testimony. This was just pre-trial stuff. And the judge says, there will be an opportunity for you. Gawker goes on to say, I just want to say I killed him myself. He's just putting it out there.
I think there were four different people that came forward and told the police. Josh Young told them that he kill Trey Zwicker. These included the friend who had fled with them out of state, someone by the last name of Riddle, and Cassie Gawker. One of these people even said that he was joking about how badly he had beaten Zwicker's face. There's obviously no remorse here. But how important is this going to be to a jury? That's going to be really interesting because you have this, I did it, no, I did it thing, only it's not like Josh Young is coming out and saying he did it. He's just told a lot of other people, and they're telling the authorities what he told them. And then, of course, you have Josh Gawker, who supposedly has an alibi because he was seen at a store, and then he was also filming himself having sex with his girlfriend, which gave him an alibi. But then he's saying, no, I did it. But he's also saying on the phone in taped conversations, he doesn't even realize they're being taped, I guess, that he didn't do it.
If you're incarcerated behind bars and you make a phone call, that's recorded. You know, and if your son or anyone's under indictment for murder, you can kind of just assume that your phone calls are being recorded. That's just amateur stuff to me, but yeah, anyways.
Later that year in November and then in December, Josh Young is first indicted on adult murder charges and tampering with evidence. And then he's ruled competent to stand trial. Remember, his attorney was trying to say he has some mental health issues. But does that mean he doesn't face trial for murder? Well, he was deemed competent, so yes, he will.
March 9th, Young's attorney is requesting that Young and Gawker be tried separately because Gawker is a manipulator. And being his father can influence his son and influence his trial. And he believes that Young would not receive a fair trial. And he's got a point.
This judge isn't very favorable to the defense because he says, no, we think there's a very good case that you both acted together, so you'll be tried together. Now, it comes out, and this is admitted to by Josh Gawker, but a puppy was killed. And we won't go into details, of course, but Josh Gawker admits to killing the dog.
With a baseball bat, which would be assumed as the same murder weapon that was used to kill Trey.
And supposedly there is cell phone evidence, but I don't think that was ever submitted. I think it was seen by a witness. May 10th, 2013, Josh Gawker formally pleads guilty to murdering Trey. And he said that Trey tried to get out of the house the night of May 10th, which is the night that Trey's wicker was likely murdered. And he got into an argument with his mom. He said that he was getting mad when he saw that Trey had taken his cigarette lighter and a plate of food that was his. And he said that, you know, this would happen a lot. Trey and he just didn't get along. It's further evidence that this was not a happy household. I mean, there's just constant conflict. And Gawker was saying that for whatever reason, it was just making him madder and madder.
Yeah, he wanted to do something about it. So he said he was going to scare him, act like he's going to hit him with a baseball bat, act like he's going to beat him up, act tough, but not actually do anything.
When he was doing that, he said he snapped, and then he started to actually hit him. And he hit him with what he said was a metal pipe. And he said after he was done beating Trey, he washed the pipe off and went to his cousin's house, which would be Cassie's house, Cassie Gawker. He said he also took a shower. Then he said he took the pipe and the clothes he had been wearing, put them in a bag, and he left it inside of a dumpster behind a Mexican restaurant. Now, that sounds a lot like the story that supposedly Josh was involved in regarding the bag and the weapon. Yeah. Although a different weapon.
Yeah, he went to Cassie's house, but he said the water wasn't working. And then they drove to an apartment complex and dumped the evidence there. So it's almost a mirror version, but just slight changes in the facts and details.
By his admission, by his saying that he's guilty, the odd thing is he didn't arrange for a deal with that. He didn't say, okay, I'm going to tell you what happened, but I want a deal in place. Maybe you give me 25 years and then possibly a parole. He didn't do any of that. It was just a plea, what they call an open plea. Now, I guess his idea there was, I'm just going to throw it all out there. We're going to roll the dice. And then hopefully they let Young go, Josh Young, his son. But the judge is still on this idea of, now you two were in this together. So it didn't matter what he did. They're still planning to take Young to trial.
Well, and I give credit to the prosecutor who's pushing this theory, this idea, and the judge is agreeing.
Now on June 13th, Gawker gives a prison interview. He starts talking about how his real plan was, in the end, he wanted Amanda McFarland to die. He wanted to kill her. So this whole idea of getting Josh Young in trouble was his idea because it would distract everybody. And then he could kill Amanda. And then they would know, oh, yeah, there's your real killer.
That's a complicated plan, but I guess.
Yeah, I'm not saying I think it's a good plan or that it even makes sense. I'm saying that's what he thought would work. Of course, what about when he's telling people, no, I did it. I guess he gave up on trying to kill Amanda. But he sounds very bitter. He says something about how he doesn't feel even with her. Like she did more harm to him than he did to her, which is the best way I can say it. That's really screwed up. So Gawker pled guilty. And there was no deal in place, so he gets life in prison. The judge even gives him a little jab by saying, hey, if I could give you more time, I would. July 29th is when the trial of Josh Young in the murder of Trey's Wicker begins.
So his father has been put away for life, and now it's Josh's turn. Well, when it comes to the wounds on Trey's body, of course, they bring in pathologist or a doctor to give their opinions. So Dr. George Nichols testifies in court for the defense. And he says the injuries on Trey, on his back, his head, his face, were made with a rod-like weapon and not a baseball bat. He goes on to say that it's unlikely that somebody beat him in the face. It was more likely that those wounds were inflicted by the beating on the back of his head into the underlying rocks on the ground. He was face down in the mud. it said that he was beaten from behind and died from positional asphyxiation. So essentially, what this doctor is saying is it was a metal pipe and not a baseball bat, which gives more credit to Gawker's version or the father's version of events as opposed to Josh Young's version of events. But his father testifies as a witness at his own son's trial, which kind of weird, but sure. And he says that Josh was not involved in the murder or in the cleanup of the murder. He says that he was planning on killing Amanda and his whole, you know, rigmarole of killing Trey to get back at Amanda and then killing Amanda, that whole thing.
So Josh Gawker, he said the same thing he said before, which was, my son had nothing to do with this. It was all me. But other testimony is given, including testimony by Detective Scott Russ. He was the Louisville Metro Police lead detective on that case. He was saying how Gawker sent detectives in the wrong direction because he was saying, oh, he was jumped by some kids. I think what they're trying to show is that Gawker has some ulterior motive here. This isn't he's admitting fault and that he did it alone. Don't trust this guy because he's told many stories.
I think somewhere between the doctor's testimony about the murder weapon not being found, and Gawker saying he did this, this really puts a question mark on Josh Young.
Well, and the other problem they have is Josh Young, he doesn't look real strong, if I can say it like that. When you look at Trey, Trey looked like a pretty solid kid. And you look at Josh Young and you think, ah, come on, he couldn't have done that.
That's the perception, but if you have a baseball bat, then you don't have to be big.
But I think some people can't put themselves in that situation. You know, I've heard it so many times, you know, someone will say, oh, I'm a big dude. I could take that little guy out. There was an MMA fighter who fought at 100 and I think he fought at like 145 pounds. He took on a linebacker from a university because that guy was slapping his girlfriend around in the street. And the MMA fighter beat the crap out of him.
Decimated him.
Now, I know he's a trained fighter, but literally, if you have a weapon, whether it's your skills or you have a baseball bat, you can take on people bigger than yourself, especially if you ambush them. So forget what you know. Realize that there are people out there who just can't picture it until they're actually getting hit by someone with a baseball bat, I guess. But whatever it is, this courtroom, the jury, they can't see Josh Young as the killer. They just, it's not making sense to them. And it's very easy to look at this adult and say, you know what? Yeah, he was angry at Amanda and he killed her boy.
So August 9th, he's found not guilty of murder. He's also found not guilty of tampering with evidence. And the defense attorney keeps pushing the Gawker angle. And prosecutors say Young killed his stepbrother or, you know, family member, whatever.
I don't understand this saying that he's a relative when his dad was just
dating the mom or
yeah, it's
in a relationship but yeah. Not married. But he's found not guilty. And this is where it gets really interesting, right?
Well, so the whole time from the time that he was picked up and then he was charged and all of that, he was in custody for quite a long time. It was like a couple of years. And then in 2013, September 4th of 2013, Josh Young is picked up again because he had fled his foster parents. Now, obviously, Josh Young has a criminal record, as does his dad. And maybe we should talk a little bit about this.
Well, his dad had been in and out of prison, had even escaped at one point. That was back in 2001. And then he had multiple arrests and charges after that, including when he fled with his son, Josh, kidnapped the woman, made her drive them to a hotel. It's just, there's a whole slew of assault charges, domestic abuse charges here for his dad. When it comes to Josh, after he's found not guilty, he goes on to not make much of his life either.
Josh Young's criminal record runs from 2013 to 2017. It includes fleeing and evading police. This is after trying to get away because of the murder of Trace Wicker. 2014, he attacked his live-in girlfriend. And then also in 2014, he attacked a man by the name of John Robertson, who had testified against Young at trial. And John Robertson is Cassie Gawker's boyfriend. He also did some shoplifting. He had some public intoxication.
And he's currently in federal prison for gun charges. And at some point, Josh Young decides that he just can't take it anymore and he needs to come clean. And he says he wants to take his mask off, show the world the real him. And he writes a full-on confession to the murder of Trace Wicker.
This is in February of this year when we are recording this, 2019. He wrote this long letter, and you can find it online in PDF format. And he says a number of really interesting things. He says that his dad had nothing to do with this, which, of course, a lot of people say, well, you're just trying to get your dad out of prison. But he also says that when he was in court for the murder, that he was scared. You know, this is just days before the sentencing, days before the verdict, I should say, that he reached out through his attorneys to the prosecution and wanted to reach a deal because he was afraid that what his dad was doing would have no effect on the jury. Because, and I think part of this is because Josh is paying attention and he sees how the judge is responding to things. It just feels like, no, I'm screwed. And part of it also is because he says, they can see the guilt on my face, surely. But, you know, he had no way of knowing that the jury wasn't thinking that way. So they try to reach out, and the prosecution, instead of accepting his terms, which I think was he would do 10 years at 85%. But the Commonwealth, as he puts it, greedily declined and counteroffered. And theirs was 20 years. And I don't even think there was a percentage on that. It was just literally 20 years. At that point, Josh, who didn't want to serve time at all really anyway, said, you know, I'm just going to gamble here.
Yeah, just going to roll the dice.
And he did. He's like, man, I beat it. And so he said within an hour of the verdict being read, he was eating with his family. So things really took a turn and all of a sudden he's free. But there is no double jeopardy. You can't try Josh now just because he's saying he did it. So he can say this, he can come out. And that's why people doubt his letter here. They think he's just trying to save his dad because this whole time his dad has continually tried to work on the judge, tried to work on the system to get out. And it hasn't worked because he pled guilty. And once you plead guilty, it is what, nigh impossible to turn that ship around.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it's gone. You confessed, you pled guilty, it's over. And so people are like, why do you care so much? Well, even though both Gawker and Young are troubled people, there's something between them. There's some sort of love between them that is causing this to continue. Because I don't know why he cares. I don't know why he doesn't just let his dad sit in prison.
Well, let's compare their stories or their accounts of the night of the murder. Young says that he asked Trey to go smoke weed with him behind the school. He brought along the baseball bat because he routinely would vandalize cars and other buildings by smashing in windows and spray painting stuff. So we have graffiti, we have windows being broken, whatever. So he doesn't like Trey, but he's kind of stuck with him. So he says, let's go smoke some pot. They go down into this wooded area, and he says that Trey is smarting off at him. I think he said something to the effect of, he talked a lot of smack, but he had nothing to back it up with. Meaning, he would do a lot of talking, but never fight. It was all bark, no bite. And it just ticked him off to the point where he decided to hit him. And then he just kept hitting him. And then he might have switched to the baseball bat at this point. And then he describes Trey making really awful noises. And he knew that he had to finish him off to put him out of his misery, I guess. And then he goes to Cassie's house to wash off, but there's no water. So they drive and dump their stuff. And then he walked around aimlessly for the rest of the night until the school bus came. This is not a perfect story. This is not well thought out. This is a teenager lashing out at somebody and then doing what a teenager would do, which is walk around aimlessly, not knowing what else to do. When I hear Gawker, his father's testimony or statement, it's, I hated Amanda because she aborted my kid. I wanted to get back at her, eye for an eye, and it just felt right.
Yeah, and in his version, Cassie's water is just fine. It runs.
Yeah. Now, the only discrepancy here really is, how did Trey die? Was it a baseball bat or a lead pipe? Well, the defense says it was a lead pipe. That might be the key to this whole case on who's telling more of the truth. But I don't actually buy that this doctor for the defense is getting it all right. It's just his testimony, and the prosecution's testimony is, no, it was the baseball bat. So get over it.
Yeah, it was a Louisville Slugger.
Yeah. So to me, that's pivotal here, but we come back to, is this a father trying to protect his son, or was this a long game of, I'm going to take the heat or the fall for this. My son's found not guilty. Then he comes out and says, I really did this, no double jeopardy. And now the father can get exonerated. I personally see this as just the father trying to protect his son and now having regrets about it because he's serving a life sentence. Because Josh Young never seemed to be in on it, but maybe he was just that much better at manipulation than his own father was. I don't know.
Well, some have said that, you know, this has brought up questions about, did they get the right person? Does the prosecution really understand this case? And the prosecutors, including Elizabeth Jones Brown, she's with the Commonwealth, they seem to understand the case to me. They see this as both of them being involved. Now, me personally, I could totally see this as Josh Young being the killer.
Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Some of us spend our lives wishing we had more time, but time for what? If time was unlimited, what would you use it for? If you need to squeeze a special thing into your schedule, do you even know what's important to you and how to make that a priority? Well, with therapy, you can find out what matters to you so you can do more of it. We all need to vent sometimes. We all need to talk about some of the things that have happened to us. And I'll tell you right now, your friends might be sick of hearing about it. So take the burden off them. Let a professional help you. Sometimes it's as simple as just getting something off your back and letting somebody else know so you can feel validated and move on with your life. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/GenY today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/GenY.
Even the earlier story of Gawker was that he was creating his own alibi, that he sent his son to kill Trey, but that he was creating this alibi where he was with Trey's mother having sex and filming it. It keeps coming back to Josh Young, you know, and details like the water wasn't running. That kind of stuff really speaks to me.
And Cassie says it was Young that came to her house, not Gawker. You know, this major eyewitness here is saying Josh came, Joshua Young, not his father. And then you add in Amanda, the girlfriend, says that Gawker's at the house and he falls asleep first. So to me, the evidence points at Josh Young, not at his father.
A lot of information on this case can be found at WDRB. one of the things that happened was an interview with Josh Gawker where he's asked, you probably weren't a very good father to Young, were you? And he says, no. But then he basically says that he feels like he's father of the year for taking the fall for him. This is the kind of information that keeps jabbing me. It feels like the truth. It feels like Gawker will say whatever it takes whenever it suits his own interests. And sometimes that own interest is, I'm going to finally do something for my boy. And then it's also, I don't really like being in prison. I'd like to get out now. Where's the exit? The other thing that's really apparent to me is that no matter how much the prosecution really understands this case or not, there is no sympathy from either Joshua Gawker or his son Joshua Young regarding Trey's Wicker. Even to this day, even in the confession letter, Josh Young has no remorse about what happened to Trey. What does this tell you? It tells me that no matter what you think, it doesn't really matter at this point. They're both fine with Trey's Wicker being a murder victim.
Yeah, and Trey's family, his father, is having to deal with this, you know, for the last, what, 8 years, 9 years, something like that. He's had to see who he believes murdered his son walk free and see that man's father go on and on about how he did it, how he didn't do it. He's having to just watch this train wreck of a family keep going and destroy his family, even after they've murdered his son.
And this back and forth about who did what or didn't do this, Terry's Wicker, it's just torture for him. Because in his mind, they're both guilty. And so the way he sees it is, yeah, one guy got put away, but then his kid is free. He didn't get justice. Trey didn't get justice in this case. And I don't think it's any fault of the prosecution's. I think it really just came down to people judged a book by its cover. They looked at Josh Gawker and said, yeah, you're the killer. There was a plot here. And they looked at Josh Young and said, oh, there's no plot. There's just you being upset and doing this on a whim, just snapping. You don't even look like you could do anything to that kid. I think they're just judging a book by its cover, and they judged each father and son differently.
I think it's more believable to accept that an adult could do this than a child, yet the evidence dictates otherwise. And like you said, once you confess to a murder, you're pretty much going to jail. You're pretty much going to be convicted of that.
So like I said, February of 2019, Josh Young came out with this written confession. And at the end of it, he's basically pleading with the media to get in touch with him. He wants to profit off this crime. It says it in there. He also wants to come clean with all of the details to the crime. He says he'll provide them. Yeah, it sounds like he wants money, but he also wants to clear the air and set things right and make some money.
I believe Josh Young. I believe what he's saying, and I don't believe his father, Gawker, at all. But that's just my personal opinion. I know that's probably at odds with a lot of people out there who probably believe that both of them are involved somehow. But I believe this kid. I do.
So, after you've heard this entire story, do you think that both of them were involved, both father and son, Gawker and Young, or do you think just one of them was involved in the murder of Trey's Wicker?
Also, let us know if you think that this was a father taking the fall for his son, or if this was both of their plan to get each other out of prison.
And if you need more information, I would definitely head out to your browser and type in WDRB Zwicker. You'll find a lot of information. And it seems like even though this case got a little national, after all, Dr. Phil had Josh Young on his show, which Young gloats about, you know, how Dr. Phil looked at him and said, I can see the innocence in your eyes. And he was talking about what a fool Dr. Phil was. This really was covered by the local media in Louisville. Hey, Prime members, you can listen to the Generation Y podcast ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Whether you're working out, walking, or running errands, Audible can help you keep your heart rate up month after month with their pulse-pounding collection of thrilling audiobooks that you can't hear anywhere else. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog, which includes thousands of titles. This month, check out the Audible original, The Space Within. It's a chilling 8-part story about a psychiatrist, Dr. Maddie Weil, voiced by Academy Award winner Jessica Chastain, who is tasked with unlocking the memories of a child who went missing for 7 hours. Maddie soon discovers that there are more who have faced similar experiences, and the truth of what is happening to them may impact the fate of humankind. New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500. That's audible.com/thrill or text thrill to 500-500.